Welcome to this week's edition of Outdoors Online, a weekly webcast produced by the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. I'm your host, Mike Anderson. My guests this week are Wanda Brayton, North Dakota Farm Service Agency Program Director, and Kevin Kading, North Dakota Game and Fish PLI Section Leader in charge of the PLOTS program. Today we're going to talk about CRP. Wanda, give our viewers a little history on CRP in North Dakota.
Sure. CRP actually got its start with the December 23rd, 1985 Farm Bill. The program was actually intended to reduce the production surplus that we had and control erosion concerns that were there. Over time, the CRP has actually changed, and today it's actually more of an environmental type program. At one time, with the 2002 Farm Bill, there was a national cap of 39 million acres nationally that could be accepted. With the 2014 Farm Bill, those acres were reduced down to 24 million. Now, with the 2018 Act, we are able to be able to enroll up to 27 million acres by the end of 2023. Now, for North Dakota, we have seen a lot of changes with North Dakota as well. North Dakota has been very successful with their conservation program. Our peak enrollment period was in 2007, when we saw 3.38 million acres enrolled in the CRP program, where today we are at the 1.25 million acres enrolled, with approximately 700,000 acres due to expire in the next 3 years, over half of what we have in CRP today. So there are some concerns about making sure that we keep conservation on the ground. Like I said, we've seen many benefits from it. We've seen improved wildlife habitat. We've seen improved water quality. So there is great benefits in North Dakota in order to keep that.
Okay. The Farm Service Agency has a lot of partners that you guys work with.
Yes, we have. When it was first announced back in 1985, FSA was charged with the task of being the administration for the Conservation Reserve Program. We are the administrators, but yet we work with several of our partners. We work with NRCS, we work with the North Dakota Game and Fish, and able to get our technical information from them to do our outreach and help us get those practices on the ground.
Kevin, Game and Fish has always had an interest in CRP. Why?
The simple answer is habitat, Mike. We have an interest in CRP. We have for the 34 years that it's been around. It's produced benefits to soil and water and wildlife. There's a lot of things that we see the benefits from it, not only the wildlife being produced on that CRP, but the recreational opportunities that come from it. But one thing that maybe a lot of people don't think about all the time is, you know, CRP, it's you know, they think of it as that fall hunting cover primarily, but it's producing wildlife all throughout the year. There's been some recent research showing the importance of CRP to white-tailed fawns. For that bedding cover and the complexity that it puts out on the landscape, having a little bit of undisturbed interspersed cover in that agricultural landscape really benefits some of our white-tailed deer populations, and we all know how important our white-tailed deer are to our state. It goes without saying too that it benefits our pheasants and other upland game birds and grassland nesting birds too, and waterfowl.
Wanda, we have a general sign-up going on right now. What can producers expect
when they come into the office? The general sign-up started on December 9th, and it'll go until February 28th. Some of the eligibility requirements are still the same, where they're going to, for owner and operator, they still have to have that 12-month ownership or operatorship in order to be eligible. For land, they still have to meet, for the general sign-up, have the three main criteria, and that's where the land would have to meet the EI, or the Enrollability Index, of 8 or greater. It would have to be expiring CRP, or it would have to be located in a state or national conservation priority area in order to qualify. With that, there are some other criteria. Of course, it has to be physically incapable of being planted in a normal manner in a normal year, which sometimes is a little hard to figure out these days. And it also has a cropping history requirement, meaning that it has to have been cropped in an A commodity 4 out of 6 years between 2012 and 2017.
What are the changes for this sign-up?
For this sign-up, you're going to see a change with our, when it comes to our soil rental rates. We still look at the three predominant soils on the land that's offered for the CRP, and we take that, it's a NAS data that actually is broken down into three different categories. And what we do is we take a look at those soils and we do an average, and then now for this sign up, we take that for general sign up at an 85% level. Other changes for this one is that some of our safe acres, our state acres for wildlife habitat, which have normally been under a continuous type sign up, now those priority areas that are in grasses and trees, they now can be offered under the general practice or a general sign up, and they get additional points for that, for being in those areas.
Let's say a producer had it. Acres that expired in 2017, 18, or 19. Are those acres available for the sign-up?
Yes, they are. There's what happened is there is a, since we haven't had any general sign-ups in the last few years, what they allowed to do is a one-time opportunity for producers with contracts greater than 14 years in length that expired in years 2017, 18, and 19 to be able to consider those acres as expiring CRP and be able to enroll those into a general sign-up meeting that criteria of expiring land. For those contracts that are 14 years or less in length, those producers are still eligible to offer their land in general sign-up. However, the criteria for it would be considered more of a new land, and then they would have to look at the type of cover that's already existing on that land itself. So for all of those contracts, they're still eligible to offer them. It just falls into different eligibility criteria.
Okay, and if a producer has cropland that meet all the eligibility requirements,
yep,
what can they do to be more competitive for this sign-up?
Any of the land that's offered for CRP, like I said, they have to go through a ranking factor. It's an environmental benefit index factor ranking. The sign-up is going to be very competitive. There's six different factors within that EBI score. We look at our wildlife benefit, we look at water quality, we look at soil erosion, enduring benefits, we look at air quality, and then the final factor is our cost factor. Now, most of those factors are all based on where that land is located when you're talking about your soil erosion and your water quality. If a producer wants to enhance their offer, they can look at that wildlife benefit. By having more of an enhanced type cover, they can gain more points in doing that. If they're willing to put in a pollinator habitat or have at least 51% in a safe zone like we were just talking about, they could get additional points for that. And then that hidden factor for the cost, it's actually broken down into two factors. One is that based on those average of the soil rental rates, there is a point score of 0 to 25 where a participant can gain points by actually reducing their maximum payment rate or their offered payment rate. By every whole dollar, they get certain points for that. Now, there's the one cost factor that's a hidden factor, and of course, that's the one that is used after the sign-up period is done by the national office in order to basically rank all of the offers to determine which ones are acceptable.
Okay, Kevin, where does the North Dakota Game and Fish come in? How does your staff help producers?
Well, as you just heard Wanda explain, there's a lot of moving parts when it comes to CRP, and you know, as far as working through that process and knowing some of these factors and some of the different types of cover that they can utilize to enhance their EBI. That's where we can help out. We can talk with producers and help them through that process. We can then offer different incentives for our POTS program if they're interested, if they get accepted into CRP, and they're looking at some additional incentives and are willing to allow walk-in hunting. They might be interested in talking to us about POTS. And in some cases, that extra, we pay an extra $10 per acre per contract year. That might help in this situation with the lower rental rates that are going on with this general sign-up. So something that we can talk with producers about, help them through the sign-up process, work with them and the county FSA staff to just kind of help guide them through that process.
Okay. Wanda, let's talk about CCRP.
All right.
And the CREP program.
CCRP stands for a continuous CRP program. What that is, it's a program that is ongoing. The sign-up also started on December 9th, and that will run until September 30th. And it was intended for those small, highly sensitive environmental areas to be able to enroll those in order to be able to improve water quality or like some of our wildlife benefits in those areas.
Okay, and the CREP program?
The CREP program, we have it's called the Riparian Project. It's our CREP 2 project. With that, we have 20,000 acres available for a riparian project Also by establishing some of our pollinator habitat type practices. Producers, again, would be able to come in and enroll in contracts for a 10 to a 15-year contract. There's no easement on this. They do get certain incentives in order to be able to help them with the cost of establishing those covers.
Okay. Kevin, anything else with the PLOTS program?
Both of the, well, first of all, the CREP and the continuous are more, a little bit more of incentivized programs, too. We have been involved. We're a partner with the CREP. It's really kind of targeting some of these riparian areas in the southwestern part of the state. It basically includes filter strips and pollinator habitat to try to add some cover along these riparian systems. And it's got some incentives through the PLOTS program as well. So it's another partnership that we're involved with FSA. And so that goes on past the general sign-up. So when the general sign-up is over, those producers that are interested in those continuous or CREP options, they can still look at that even after February 28th when the general sign-up is over.
Okay, one more time. If a producer's interested, what do they need to do?
They need to contact their local FSA office. They need to sit down with them because each of the officers are really based on an individual basis, just depending on what the producer wants to do with the land and where that land is located. So really have them come in and make an appointment with their county office and sit down and visit about conservation.
And your staff can help out with that.
Right, and Mike, one of the things we would like to tell people is just, you know, think of CRP as another tool, another option for your land, another way to manage your land. You know, there might be some areas in your field that are lower producing yields or some marginal soils. There might just be some areas you want to square off. I mean, there's some opportunities here to help you with your bottom line, you know, maybe take some of those areas out of production and get a steady, consistent annual rental payment and produce some wildlife and soil and water benefits as well.
A lot of great information. Thank you.
Thank you.
To find out more information on the general sign-up for the Conservation Reserve Program, visit the Game and Fish Department's website at gf.nd.gov or Farm Service Agency website at fsa.usda.gov.
For Wanda Brayton, Kevin Kading, and the rest of the staff here at the Game and Fish Department, thanks for joining us for this week's Outdoors Online. We'll see you again next week.